Great to see you all here today. As Gary said, we're going to change things here a little bit. Thinking of the verse, Proverbs 16:9 says, "Man plans his ways, but the Lord directs his steps," and that's true with each one of us. It was Friday afternoon, probably about 12 noon or so, and Larry was doing what he's been doing for, I don't know, 40, 50, 60 years. He was working on a tree, and there's an accident, but it wasn't an accident. Larry's on one branch cutting something, and there's another branch above him, and that branch accidentally broke. But as we know, it wasn't really an accident. It was the sovereign hand of God. And God took the branch, and it took Larry, and it flipped him through the air, and he landed and broke his leg and other injuries and things. And as they found out through the weekend, he had internal bleeding as well, which was really what really was harmful to him. And but, you know, it's interesting thinking how God wanted them home. I'm not very smart, medically speaking, so I was there last night, and I asked the nurse, "We got them on some IVs?" She said, "I have them on 6 IVs." I said, "Oh," and then she showed me the 6. They were doing all they could to save him. I mean, all kinds of different instruments, machines, all they could to save him. God wanted them home. That's it. That's it. And it's a sobering thing. Because, you know, again, man plans his ways. We plan our ways. The doctors, nurses trying to do what they could do. And God wanted him home. And I think, you know, he sat right behind us for years and he's not here today. And in fact, Debbie, yesterday, I was talking to her yesterday morning. She says, "Steve, I won't be at church tomorrow." And I think I didn't say anything about it. Well, of course, he's not going to be at church, you know. But they're so committed, Larry and Debbie. And, of course, Debbie's friends, their friends, Margaret and Heidi, aren't here either because they've been with him a lot. And that's part of why what we're sharing today, because you see, we're not some big church of 1,000 members. It's obvious. And if you had a 1,000-member church and somebody passed away at 7:05 on a Sunday morning, they wouldn't address it. But we're a small church. We're a family church. And we couldn't. I couldn't go to talk about the other message. I just couldn't do it. So I'm sitting at the breakfast table and says, "Lord, what do you want for the people today? What do you want them to hear?" So that's where we're at. He had Larry is. An accident Friday, but it's the sovereign hand of God to bring him home. You know, I say, well, he was 78. He had a good life. We just sang his birthday, you know, 2 weeks ago, 31st of July. But the Lord knew. I mean, he was really pretty healthy. He really was. In fact, I get a little story. I was in the ER with Debbie on Friday afternoon and talking to the orthopedic practitioner there and talking about Larry's injuries and stuff. And Debbie was talking about his past health history, and she said, "Well, 2 years ago he had esophageal cancer, and God healed him." You know, Debbie just did it out, you know, and the nurse went on, and Debbie went on. But anyway, the Lord's in charge; He's in control. And but it really it just shocks me, and it's got to shock you too. Thinking he was here a week ago in that pew doing the coffee, talking to people, and now he's in heaven. I mean, it is shocking. It is shocking. I mean, I'm there this morning at 7:01, 7:02, you know, and the people there. It's Debbie, her two children, Sean and Tim, Larry's brother, Bob, and Debbie's sister. And you know, you look at the machines. You know how you're there. You look at machines, and all of a sudden, the heart machine flatlines as well. Because his heart machine was fine, and all of a sudden, it flatlines as well. And that's it. It says his heart is gone, but his soul is gone. I mean, can you think about this? It's just so quick, so sudden. He was here on earth, and now he's in heaven, and he's in a great place. He's having the best day of his life. I mean, by far. We have to have this perspective, and that's why I share these few things here. He's doing very well. It's hard for Debbie. She's crying Friday and Saturday and yesterday, and her children, Sean and Tim, and it's sad. I mean, you know, it's a wonderful man. They had a wonderful marriage, and I was talking to Debbie, and I says, "Debbie, we're praying for Larry, but we're also praying for you." And then, you know, her comment was, she says, "Well, if Larry's been doing bad, I'm doing bad. If Larry's doing good, I'm doing good." You know, they were one. And you understand that as married people. You know, you really play off the feelings, the emotions, the spirit of your partner. And so anyway, just wanted to share that. And the last reading, that the last word of God that Larry heard, and it's hard to know how much he heard this morning, about 6:30 probably or so, I was with Debbie there in the room, and it was Psalm 84, which is what Gary just read. That was the last word of God that he heard. And I like that verse. It says they go from strength to strength until each appears in Zion. Going from strength to strength, and then he's now in heaven. He's appeared. He's appeared before the Lord, I mean, with the angels and the saints, and he's already seen Jesus Christ. This is an amazing miracle. A person is transported from earth to heaven in such a short time and in such a miraculous way. But I also read, and you can turn your Bible, just a few things to read here then to share a few thoughts as well. Psalm 23. Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in the paths of righteousness for His namesake. And even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for You are with me. Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You've anointed my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and loving kindness will follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And of course, that last phrase is true of Larry right now. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And when we prayed after Larry had passed on, we're out there in the hallway, and I was with Debbie and Tim. And we were just praying, and I just said, Lord, now the second part of that verse is true. He's with you. Wonderful truth. Psalm 139, all the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. We sang his birthday song 2 weeks ago. Now the Lord has took him from us. Psalm 116, verse 15, which Gary already quoted, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his godly ones. And having that perspective is important for us as Christians to know his perspective. It's his time to bring people home when he wants, and it's precious in his sight. I mean, Larry was always in the Lord's view. The Lord always knew that day when he'd bring him home, and it was this morning. It was today, and really it was a good day to go and be with the Lord on a Sunday, on a Lord's Day. That's a good day, right? It really is. It was sobering what took place, okay? I mean, I'm sort of in shock. I mean, things have happened so fast the last 2 days, and but yet, when you think about it perspective-wise, the Lord is gracious. He gave 2 days, you know, for the family, the friends to come, to visit, to say hello, to say their goodbye. So it was sufficient time, what God wanted for them. Time for, you know, Tim and Sean to come from their respective places. They drove through the night to get here Saturday. But this is sobering to us. And this is to be a wake-up call for us. Any person's passing away, particularly I'm speaking of ones that we're close to, is to be a wake-up call, is to alert us to the condition of our soul. Whether we are saved or lost makes no difference. It's to be a wake-up call. A wake-up call. And the first one's simple. If you don't know the Lord, if you're not sure of your salvation, if you're not sure if you're forgiven of your sins, if you've not placed your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, this is to be a wake-up call to you. A wake-up call. Let me just look some verses. Romans 3, you can turn your Bibles to Romans 3. Just a few here. A person's passing away, a person's death is to be a wake-up call to the one who doesn't know him, to the unbeliever, to wake up, to believe, to repent. Romans 3, 23-6, we read there. It says, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, being justified as a gift by His grace through the redemption which is in Christ Jesus, whom God displayed publicly as a propitiation in His blood through faith. This was to demonstrate His righteousness, because in the forbearance of God He passed over the sins previously committed. For the demonstration, I say, of His righteousness at the present time, so that He would be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. Amazing verses, because most all of religion in the world says you've got to do something to get right with God. You've got to do some kind of good works to go to heaven. And that is so wrong. That's what these verses say. That's not it. Being justified is a gift by His grace. It's what God does for you through Christ. God displayed publicly as a propitiation in His blood through faith. That is, Christ died and His death was to satisfy God. His death was to pay for our sins. That's what it was. For the demonstration, I say, of God's righteousness, not our righteousness. Nothing that we could do. to be right with God, but what God did for us through Jesus Christ. That's it. This is the good news. It's believing in Christ and what He did for us. He is just and the justifier of the one who does good works. Does it say there in verse 26? No, the one who has faith in Jesus. We go on to chapter 5. Verses 6 through 9. While we were still helpless, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. An unbeliever is helpless. An unbeliever can do nothing to save his soul. Absolutely nothing. Verse 7, one will hardly die for a righteous man, though perhaps the good man, someone would dare even die. But God demonstrates His own love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. We say that verse with simplicity, with ease, but we don't understand the gravity, the seriousness, what Christ really did for us, His suffering and death, the pain He went through, the anguish, the separation from God, the wrath of God that He experienced to take care of our sin. He suffered and died for us. He took our place. Verse 9, much more than having now been justified by His blood, we shall be saved from the wrath of God through Him. All of us, it says in Ephesians 2, were objects of God's wrath. We deserved be punished by God for our sins against Him. Anybody doesn't think so, they're extremely naive of the truth. Or foolish, one of the two. So, Christ died for us, chapter 6, verse 23. The wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. There's so many things we in our flesh can long for and desire and want in life, but we have to come back to the most important thing, that it's the free gift of God. Absolutely free. This gift that God wants to give to that person who repents of his sins and believes in Christ for salvation. That's what it is. The wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. I like that because it's present tense. Again, we don't have to wait till we die to find out where our destiny is going to be. And so many people think that. I mean, I would venture to say probably the majority of people in the world think, well, I still got to wait. Wait? Now's the time of salvation. Romans 10 speaks about that, 9 through 13. Says, if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. So what tense is that word confess and believe? What tense is it? Present. Now's the time. Oh, I'll wait till tomorrow. There's some nice thought. I'll wait till next week. No, you don't wait. You don't wait till things are harder or another day. Now is the day that if you now confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart a person believes, resulting in righteousness, and with the mouth he confesses, resulting in salvation. For the Scripture says, whoever believes in Him will not be disappointed. There's no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord is Lord of all, abounding in riches for all who call on Him. No favoritism on God's part. God so loved the world, He gave His Son, that whoever believes in Him would not perish, but have eternal life. It says in verse 13, whoever will call on the name of the Lord will be saved. So if you're here today and you're not sure of your salvation, or if you're sure you're not saved, now's the day, now's the time. Call on the Lord. It says in Matthew 11, Jesus says, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. John 6, Jesus says, I'm the bread of life. He who comes to me will never go hungry. He who believes in me will never be thirsty. He goes on to say, all that the Father gives me will come to me. And whoever comes to me, I will never drive away. The message is very clear, very simple. John 5, 24 says it this way. Jesus says, he who hears my words and believes in him who sent me has eternal life and does not come into judgment, but has passed out of death into life. Wonderful words. It's true. Again, the present tense. You believe, you have at this present time eternal life. Eternal life that now you have now and then continues on for all to eternity, forever and ever and ever. And you won't come into judgment. God will never judge you for your sins. So that's the good news. We talked about Jesus Christ. We talked about the gospel. This is the good news that God wants us to hear. And now's the time. Now's the day of salvation. The Lord Jesus wants you to come to Him today if you don't know Him. And the offer is for you. The offer is for you. Repent of your sins. Believe in Christ. Turn to Him to be saved, to be forgiven. And then you'll see Larry again. The only way to see Larry again is to be a Christian. And those of you who know that you're saved, know that's part of your joy. Yes, you're sad you're going to miss one. I mean, again, something like this happens, it's sudden, but you'll see him again. So the lesson is for those who are not saved, who are unbelieving, to get saved. And the lesson for those who are saved is to wake up and are you serving the Lord in the right way? You know that your time on earth is short. I mean, sometimes you think, well, I'm 40, I'm going to live till I'm 70 or 80. Or I'm 60, I'll live to 70. You don't know. No one knows. Larry didn't know Friday afternoon. He didn't know. Debbie didn't know. None of us knew. God knew. You must be sobered by the fact that God is in charge and God is sovereign over each one of our lives. You don't know. Secondly, you never know when the Lord's going to call you home to heaven, which is a wonderful thing, but you don't know. You don't know. And then we are to be ones who are to live full out for the Lord. We're to give Him all we have. I think as I say that, as I thought about this even this morning and yesterday, I think I'm convicted. Am I living full out for the Lord? Am I doing all that the Lord wants me to do? Is Mark 12:30 true? Love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. And we can give all the excuses in the book for not living full out for the Lord, but none are right. None are right before God. A few verses to read. Romans 12:1 and 2. And verses 1 and 2, of course, come after 11 chapters of amazing truth about what God has done for us. I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. Clear verses on living full out for the Lord, being committed to Him. That's what they're saying. 1 Corinthians 15:58, therefore be steadfast and immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. That verse, the last verse of a whole chapter of truth about the resurrection. Don't you know that you've died with Christ and you're going to heaven? In view of that, then live full out for Him. Steadfast and immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Psalm 119:112, a favorite verse of mine for years. My heart is set on keeping your decrees forever to the very end. My heart is set. I'm determined to keep His decrees. Psalm 40, verse 8, said of Jesus, but also to be said of us. I delight to do your will, O God. Your law is in my heart. I delight. I love to do what you want me to do. Psalm 26:3, one of my favorites this last year. The life verse. Your love is ever before me, and I walk continually in your truth. Did you hear the commitment of those words? Your love is ever, always before me, and I walk continually in your truth. That's a commitment verse. Then, of course, 23:6. Surely, Psalm 23:6. Surely, goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That's a great life verse. Might that be true of all of us? So, the point's simple today. If you don't know the Lord, then today's the day of salvation. Now's the time. Now's the time to say, Lord, I'm sorry that I've sinned against you. And I understand that you sent your Son to die for my sins. And I believe that, and I want that, and I realize that if I don't turn to you, that I'm gone forever, apart from you, and punished forever. Sobering news, but good news. Don't be deceived. If you're not sure of your salvation today, you don't think you're safe, don't walk out of here and forget what the Lord is trying to say to your heart. This is the most important thing. This is it. This is it. If you do know the Lord, but haven't been living quite right, then take inventory. Take stock. What happened this morning at 7:05 is to be a wake-up call for you. You don't know the time of your departing from this world, and are you living in the way the Lord wants you to? And don't let the devil give you any excuses. Well, you know, it's fine to do this or that or this or that. No. The only right thing to do is to live full out for the Lord. be wholly committed to Him. Now, sometimes even saying that can pain your heart. But I like this. I like these things. And you got this worldliness. You got this club. We all have it. I got it. You have it. And I'm not saying we change absolutely overnight, but are you willing to be and do whatever the Lord wants today? Say, Lord, here I am. Search me and know my heart. Try me and know my anxious thoughts and see if there's any harmful, hurtful way in me. Lord, here I am. Are you willing to do that? And you all know this. I've said this so many times. The Lord takes you where you're at. He knows what's going on enough. He takes you where you are at. He knows what He wants to do with your life. And He is a very patient, He's a very gracious, He's a very kind Father. He takes you step by step by step. He doesn't jerk you around. Don't worry about that. If I give myself, Lord, He's going to do this. No, don't worry. Trust Him. He knows who you are. He knows what He's doing. He knows what He has for your life. He knows what He wants to do with us together. He knows that. And so, if you're not living quite right, we have a little silent prayer here in a few minutes. You say, Lord, I'm willing to do whatever. You show me. You make it clear. Be in the Word. Be with the saints. Fellowship. So, and say, Lord, use me as You would wish. If you're here and you're a believer in Christ, God's got a reason if you be in here. He's got a purpose for your life. He wants to use you in some way. It might be very small in some ways, but it might be who knows what. God knows. God knows how He wants to use you for His purposes. Say, Lord, here I am. Send me, use me, whatever You want. So, today is a wake-up call. Our good friend is not with us, and I'm still in shock. Things have happened so fast, and those of you just heard this morning, you're in shock. But I encourage you, we're going to again have just a minute of prayer here in a minute, I encourage you to take time today. Apart from here, back in your home, your house, or taking a walk and in a room where it's quiet and say, Lord, here I am. You might open up the Bible. You might read something, New Testament, Ephesians or Colossians or Romans, or you might go to the Old Testament, read a Psalm or a Proverb. Say, Lord, show me, search me, whatever You want. And Lord, I'll take you right where You're at. And so we're thankful for this day. This is a good day. The day the Lord has made. The day the Lord took Larry to heaven. The day that we can rejoice and be glad in it. So might we be ones who go on and we are to rejoice, we are to be thankful, we are to be ones who are at peace. But yet might we be ones who are sobered. And again, we can do all kinds of things in life, and I'm not trying to make a judgment call on the things you do in life. But might we be ones who soberly live our days for the Lord. Might we be like that. And so let's pray. Lord, we thank You for this day. We thank You for Larry and his life, for his salvation, the 78 years that You gave him. And then, Lord, You saved him. And I know with Larry, his life was dramatically changed. It was clear to him and many others that, wow, he's different. He went from darkness to light, from lost to saved in a split second. It was so clear, so obvious how his life then changed. So we're glad for him being with us. We're glad that You brought him to heaven today to be with You. What a miracle. I mean, this is again an amazing and shocking thing to think that he was sitting with us here this last Sunday, but now he's with You in heaven. And that's encouraging. That's good. But Lord, we're sad and we'll miss Larry, a great brother in the Lord and a friend. And we pray particularly for Debbie and her family. I know how hard this is for her. And even as she told me yesterday, she's in shock. And even as to what happened, now as he's passed on, and even this morning to see her give her husband of I don't know how many years, her last goodbyes. We pray that You give her Your grace and peace, Your comfort in her children, Tim and Sean, other children Larry has, and other friends, family members, and us as well. Help us, Lord, to see things from Your perspective. To be sad, but not to be too sad. Because we know as believers we'll see Him again. And if we turn to Christ today, we'll see Him again too. That's true. So, Lord, we're sobered. If anybody here doesn't know You, God, You work in their hearts. Father, You speak to them about their need for You, about their sin, and make it so clear there's nothing they can do. But, Lord Jesus, it's what You do. You went to the cross and in a work of God that we really can't fully fathom or understand, you placed our sins on your Son, Jesus. Lord, if there's ones here today, might you wake them up to the truth of their sin and the truth of the Savior, you, Lord Jesus, what you did on the cross and how, Father, you placed our sins upon Him at that time to pay for our sins. Might you, God, move in their hearts to sorrow, to repentance, and to faith, to belief. God, you give them the faith to trust in you, Lord Jesus. Open their eyes to see this is where it's at. This is what life's really about. Life is knowing you, Lord Jesus, knowing you, Father. Eternal life, it says this in John 17:3, is knowing the Father, knowing the Son. And Lord, for all of us here who do know you, Lord, I just pray you speak to us. Lord, you're the one that's got to work in our hearts. There's nothing we can do emotionally to try to change ourselves, to stir ourselves up, to live more for you. So we're coming to you, Father, and say, God, you work in the way that you want to work in our hearts. You know what we're like. You know our frame. You know our sin. You know our struggles. You know our past. You know our present. You know our future. And so, Father, we just say, take us where we're at. We're here before you, Lord. So we just give this to you. We give ourselves to you. Now at this time, just have a we'll have a silent prayer, then I'll close. Lord, we thank you again for this time. And I know this is a short, silent prayer. Really, I pray that you move each one later this day, sometime this day, Lord, to get more time with you, to pray, to read your word, to be open before you. We can be so busy doing so many things, like Martha, distracted and worried, but Mary chose the best part, sitting at your feet. Might we see the value, the importance of time with you, and learning to say no to the busyness of life, to the people that call us up, hey, can you do this? You want to do this? Or something we want to watch on TV or this or that. God, help us to see how valueless so many things are and how important it is to be with you. And so I just pray for each of our lives, our hearts, our relationship with you. Lord, as believers, as a church, you help us to grow in the way that you want, help us to do the things that you want us to do, Lord. Lord, we know that we're just flesh and blood. We all know enough about our lives to know that we are but weak people. We are sinful. It's all by your grace. As believers, it's by your grace. By grace, we're saved through faith. And by grace, then, we continue to walk, Lord, in the life that you want us to have. And as Paul said in book after book that he wrote, grace and peace. Grace and peace. Grace and peace. God, you give us the grace we need to live for you. Give us the peace that you want us to have as we live for you, because life isn't easy. The hearts get troubled. They get disturbed. I think of you, Jesus, what you said in John there at the end with the disciples, peace be with you. Three times you told it to them. Peace be with you. Peace be with you. Lord, again, we just thank you for your great love for us. Might that verse be true of us. May your love be ever before me, and I walk continually in your truth. Lord, might that be true of all of us. Just encourage us, God, strengthen us, protect us, unite us together, Lord. Help us to be the family, the spiritual family that you want us to be, the brothers and sisters that you want us to be, the fellowship that you want us to have, and the work that you want us to do individually and together, collectively. So we're before you, Lord. Lord Jesus, you're the head of this church. You do what you want with our lives individually, with our families, with us as a church family. We ask you for this. Again, thank you so much for this day. And Lord Jesus, we want to say we long to be with you. We love you this morning, though not perfectly, but we love you. And we say, we want to be with you. We want to be in heaven, but yet we're still on earth and know that time is not yet right for us to go be with you. But until that day, by your grace, we will live for you. We pray all this now in Jesus' name.